بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اكمن لغا الله انا موسى انا اسحاو يواتو ننتريجو اسلام انترناشنال ميديم ويف 1548 with me your host Hajira Muzobe. A special welcome to those listening to us via free to air satellite and on DSTV audio bouquet channel 826. Welcome to this week's edition of The Reminder Show, our journey to a better spiritual life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the believer. Now, this is what to look forward to on the Reminder Show today, inshallah. I hope all our listeners are doing well, namhlanje, and are all back into the spirit of, you know, work, and after the nice long weekend, or long holiday, or short long week that we had off work and school. And I hope, inshallah, everyone is doing well, inshallah. So now this is, as we know, this is the month of the Rabiul Awwal, and it is the month of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we will be looking at some of the sunnahs that we will, there will be discussions on the sunnah, is what the shows that are coming to, we will be looking at, you know, some of the sunnahs we can revive on the Reminder Show. And we'll be looking at some of the, you know, we take each in each throughout the next few weeks. We'll be taking each topic or each sunnah with regards to the sunnah, and reviving it and so on, and each aspect with regards to the sunnah, inshallah. And this is what to look forward to during the course of the weeks for on the Tuesday afternoons here on the Reminder Show. Now, what to look forward to today is that we will be speaking about what is sunnah, so that inshallah all our listeners at home have a refreshment, a reminder, like a refreshing reminder of the sunnah, as well the importance of the sunnah. We will be looking at all of that today, so that we have an understanding, a better understanding of what sunnah means, and as well as, you know, for those who might have known, who might have forgotten, and it is a reminder for them as well. So all of this is what you look forward to. And inshallah, my guest for today is Apa Fatima Khwele Mukaba, and she will be speaking to us about, you know, the importance of sunnah, as well as how we can, you know, use it as a form of discipline in our lives, how we can use the sunnah, incorporate it into our life, so that we have discipline in our life. This is what to look forward to, inshallah, on the Reminder Show. Well, another thing that our listeners can look forward to at home is that we will not be having a Reminder of the Day segment anymore. As we know, in the previous shows, what would happen in the ending of the show, or in the last portion of the show, what we would do is every day I would have a reminder of the day. But in this month, inshallah, we will be having, rather, instead of the reminder of the day, we will be having a revive the sunnah segment, where we will be discussing, we will be taking short sunnahs, where we will be looking at, you know, some of the sunnahs that we have forgotten, some of the sunnahs that we can start practicing, some of the sunnahs that, you know what, are small but are beneficial in our lives. We look at those sunnahs, as well as, you know, how we can bring them back into our life and start practicing on them from today, inshallah. Now, what also we can look at, so we can start reviving and bring it into our lives, inshallah. Now, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli, rabbi zidni ilma warzuqni fahma, rabbi yassir wa la tu'sir وتمن بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح يا فتاح يا عليم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Right, we start with the dua, because we know that any knowledge that we get is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask for His assistance, as well as His guidance, as well as, you know, the means to attain that knowledge as well. Now, dear listeners, as I discussed that what we will be talking about today, as we know, for the few months we will be focusing on the sunnah, as well as, you know, the importance of the sunnah. So each week on a Reminder Show, a sunnah will be discussed, a sunnah topic will be discussed. But today, what we are going to be finding out about, or refreshing our memories on, is what is the sunnah. So when we look at the word sunnah in the Arabic word, it usually means something of habit, or something which a person does as of practice and so on. But here, Islamically, when we are looking at sunnah, it means, you know, the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his practices, which include, you know, everything he said, did, approved of, or even things that he found the Sahaba did, and he encouraged the Sahaba to do as well. So whether it be the Sahaba was doing something, And the Prophet ﷺ approved of it and then encouraged the other Sahaba Rila to also do the same. So that is what is Sunnah. And we come to learn that, you know, some of the actions of the Prophet ﷺ and, you know, the practices that we find, how we know what is Sunnah, what are the Sunnah practices, which Sunnah did the Prophet ﷺ practice on, we come to learn of all these Sunnah actions and practices from the many ahadith that the Sahaba Ridlaw Anhum Ajma'in, or the Ahlul Bayt, that is the family members or the household of the member, the household members of the Prophet ﷺ narrated. So you'll find many a time when you open Riyad al-Salihin, when you open Bukhari, when you open many of the hadith books or hadith kitabs, you'll come across, you know, many of the hadith that are narrated by the Sahaba with regards to the Sunnah, which are, you know, teaching us about the Sunnah. There's always a Sunnah of how, you know, it may be the Sunnah of eating, the Sunnah of sleeping, the Sunnah of talking, the Sunnah of dealing with people, and so on. So all of these things are from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, how he, you know, how he conducted himself. These are the practices which he had. These are the actions that he used to do. These are the, well, you know, the habits that the Prophet ﷺ used to have. And without the Sunnah, dear listeners, we would not understand this thing. Yes, we would understand how some of the laws in the Quran are meant to be carried out. We do not have the knowledge to carry out the laws in the Quran. As we know, in the Quran, many of times we are instructed to read Salah, we are instructed to fast, we are instructed to go for Hajj. But how would we know how to carry out these actions? Now, the Sunnah is a guiding aid. The Sunnah comes as a help for that. Sunnah helps us understand these ayats, these laws, and how it's supposed to be carried out. For instance, the Quran tells us to read Salah. But how to perform this Salah, we get it from the Sunnah. The Quran tells us to go for Hajj, but how to go for Hajj, the rituals that are supposed to be done in Hajj and so on, that we get from the Sunnah. So this is the importance of Sunnah. This is what the Sunnah is. Any practice the Prophet used to do, whatever the Sunnah does, it explains the Quran. It also gives us, you know, additional rules and guidance that, you know, we as believers, we as Muslims should follow in order, you know, to fulfill our purpose in a correct manner. And we know, I always speak about what is our purpose. We know that our purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to carry it out in the correct manner, that comes from the Sunnah itself. So we see even in various ayat, with regards to the Sunnah, even the Quran encourages people to follow the Sunnah, to follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to follow his way, to follow his teachings, to follow that which he came with, so that we can practice it, so it can be easy for us. So what the Quran, it has his laws, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the guide, as the leader, as the teacher for us, his believers, so that we are able to carry out our duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct manner, in the way that he's supposed to be, in the way that is, you know, in the way that will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sunnah brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any Sunnah action that we do leads us to to praying, to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct manner, in the manner that it's supposed to be, so that we can get nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct way. You know, there are many ayat, dear listeners, that, you know, they tell us about the importance of following Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that encourage us as believers to follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a guide, you know, for us to attain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Say, O Muhammad, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. And Allah is most forgiving, most merciful." This is an ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing the believers, that, you know what? Tell the believers, O Muhammad, that, you know what? If they love me, then they should follow you. What would happen? Then Allah will forgive us. Allah will forgive us our sins. Allah will love us. So this is a proof that if you want to attain nearness and attain the muhabbah, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should do it through following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, how do we follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how do we follow him? How do we follow him? By following him, his Sunnah, and, you know, practicing on the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how we show that love, how we show that love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, through the Sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this, when we are following the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it brings us rahmah, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another ayat also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the guide, is the one to be followed. And in this ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not except a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This tells us along that what do messengers come and do? They guide people, they teach people, they instruct, you know, they lead people towards the right way. They bring direction towards people's lives. They bring this, you know, like sort of a guidance for the people to follow, sort of a routine or something for the people to follow. And this we find in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He brought this guidance for us. Whatever the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do was a guidance for us. Whatever that he instructed on is a guidance for us to attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to attain the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to build on our worship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the beauty. The Prophet is the example. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that in you, O Muhammad, is the best example for the people. That, you know what? He is the best example to follow, for us to go through, to have the straight path, to attain our purpose in life, to attain our akhirah, to attain, you know, the correct way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet is the perfect example for that. And the perfect example is found in the Sunnah, in the teachings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the Hadith, we read about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his practices, how he carried himself, his habits, his actions, what he said, and so on. All of these are from the Sunnah. And we know that the Sunnah is not just what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do. In fact, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Najm that, you know what, he does not speak from his own desires. In fact, but it is a revelation revealed to him, right? What does this tell us? It is not وَمَا يَنْتَقُ أَنِ الْحَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا يُحْيِ يُحَىٰ, right? وَمَا يَنْتَقُ أَنِ الْحَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا يُحْيِ وَحِي يُحَىٰ, right? That it is not, the Prophet does not speak from his own desires. He does not speak from his own whims. He doesn't speak from his own self. But rather, in fact, it is from his, it is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sunnah itself, the thing that the Prophet advised on, the actions that the Prophet used to do, are not from the Prophet, but it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from this ayah, we also learn that, you know, the Sunnah is not only a guide, but also the Sunnah is in fact revelation from the Prophet, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all that the Prophet did or said and encouraged is in fact from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are obeying the Sunnah, you're following the Sunnah, when you are practicing the Sunnah, you are practicing the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are following the Sunnah of the Prophet, you are practicing the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for us, you know, in order for us to fulfill our purpose and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he ought to be obeyed, and, you know, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he is supposed to be worshipped, the Sunnah is a helping guide. The Sunnah is like, you know, this map that you have that is outlined for you and is put there that you go on the straight path without knowing. It shows you the sense of direction where you are going, the correct sense of direction. It gives you an outline map that's leading to the straight path. And where is that path? The path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path, the correct way, the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that map is like that. Or it can be like a torch. It brightens up your way for you. What is the purpose of a torch or a light and so on? It brightens up a way for you when you are traveling and you don't see, there's no light or your headlights are not working, you won't be able to see where you are, the road ahead. But when you have the Sunnah, it, you know, it's a torch, it is a light, it is a headlight towards where you are going, where you are headed to. So this is where the Sunnah comes from, and this is what the Sunnah is. Everything that the Prophet is to practice on, including whatever he said or advised the Sahaba, the things that he used to do out of habit. And whatever that the Prophet used to do out of habit wasn't just because it was his habit, it was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired him to do. It didn't come on, from his own will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired him to do so that, you know what, us as the Ummah can follow that as well. And us as the Ummah can have that as a guide for us to go to the straight path, to follow the straight path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only wants what is for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that, you know what, he wants ease for us, you know, difficulty for us. So how is it ease? It ease comes with Sunnah. The direction. Imagine if we didn't have the direction, dear listener, where we didn't have a source to guide us. to you know, for, to lead us to the purpose, to give us that understanding of what the Quran is coming with, or that you know, that motivation, that encouragement. Where would we get it? Now, this is why the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is also showing us that the sunnah is actually a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. It is a means of us gaining nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a means of us, you know, building on the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more if we are neglecting the sunnah, if we are not following the sunnah, then what happens is we are neglecting the help, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the moment we embrace the sunnah, the moment we live our lives according to the sunnah, then it is building that way for us. It is building that path for us, this smooth sailing path for us to go, you know, on the straight path to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be pleased with us. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So everything, every example that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did was pleasing. Everything. That's why we have in the Sunnah, we find that many of the Sunnah of the Prophet deal with a lot of things, daily life, normal things that we go through. It deals with family, deals with how to treat your neighbors, deals with how to, you know, raise the children, deals with how to, you know, speak, how to conduct yourself in manners. All of these things are found in the Sunnah as a helping guide for us to actually tread a path in the correct way, in the way that, you know, is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we are loving the Prophet, I mean, we're loving the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are in turn loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are loving the sunnah. Because why? The sunnah is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may be the practices of the prophets, but those practices are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And he has, you know, inspired the prophets with these actions of sunnah. So this is what sunnah is, dear listeners. As a refreshing reminder for all of us on what is the sunnah, if we have forgotten, so that we have a better understanding of that sunnah and we are able to practice on it in the correct way, in the way that is appealing to him. So we will be looking at some of the there's a lot of sunnah actions here, lessons that we can talk about, but because time constraint and so on, we will be in the month. Time goes by and we only have the reminder show only once. So what will happen? We'll discuss the most important sunnahs that we find that, you know, what are forgotten sunnahs, and how we can actually start bringing them to our lives, striving to love the sunnah way, inshallah. This is what to look forward to during the course of the month, inshallah. It is 5:30 right now, so we will be going for our short break, inshallah, and then when we come back, my guest Apa Fatima Khoile Mukaba will join us, inshallah, for our interview for today. Stay tuned.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. You are tuned into Radio Islam International Medium Wave 1548 with me, your host Hajira Muzobe, and this is the Reminder Show. Today we are speaking about striving to love the sunnah way. We are speaking about the sunnah. Before the ad break, we were speaking about what is the sunnah, as well as some proofs with regarding to following the sunnah and following the Prophet as a guide for us as believers to gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do have our guest on for today, which is Apa Fatima Khoile Mukaba. Apa Fatima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakallah khair for joining us.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakallah khair, Apa, for having me.
How is Apa doing today?
I'm okay, alhamdulillah. How are you, Appa?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, I'm well, Appa. Jazakallah khair for availing your time, Appa. Appa, as you know, we are speaking about the sunnah, the importance of the sunnah, as well as, you know, believers striving to live the sunnah way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Imran, ayat 31, that, say, O Muhammad, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. From this ayat, we learn that, you know, the following the sunnah of the Prophet has many benefits for Muslims, such as the love and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when we are following the sunnah, it is like an outline map or source of direction for a believer, making it, you know, important in a believer's journey of life. Now, but my first question to you is, please tell us, you know, the important role that sunnah plays in a believer's life, and why is this so?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تهدي بزلاء الله ونعلم وحاة ونعلم خوفاله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد وبارك سليم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said something to the effect, من غاضب عن سنتي فليس مني. So I'll answer the question backwards. With من غاضب عن سنتي فليس مني. The reason why we should follow the sunnah of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم first and foremost would be he who does not follow my sunnah is not of us. So all of us, we want to be part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, we should follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the role that the sunnah plays, first and foremost, is that we should understand what the sunnah actually means. That is the practice of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is saying, and it's the second source of knowledge of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereas he is a perfect model. So this can be seen also basically in our salahs. For example, when Allah Ta'ala mentions that in the Quran with the fact that we should read salah, but it does, the Quran does not mention how many raka'at are there, what the times of the salahs, etc. So in the ahadith, that's where we get that information, like, you know, how many raka'at should we read, or the times that we should read our salah, etc. So that's why now the sunnah basically provides us specific instructions on how to live our lives according to the Islamic law. So we could basically say that sunnah is a guidance for mankind. So that's why it is important for us to follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Very true. From the ayah that I read, we spoke about how it can be an indication or the benefits that we can receive from the love and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we follow the sunnah. So about what are some of the other benefits of following the sunnah, and how can one work to achieve these benefits?
Subhanallah, obviously it is a great benefit for us as believers to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah also has said in the Quran, there has certainly been for you the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an excellent pattern or example for anyone whose hope is in Allah ta'ala and the last day, and remembers Allah often. So a person who says they love Allah ta'ala will love Allah and will follow the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the benefits would be, for example, sleeping and waking up early in the morning. So when you sleep early, and a person will be able to wake up early as well, and you will be able to be well rested and able to have enough energy for the day to, in order for a person to complete the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. Example, our salah, we wouldn't miss Fajr, or a person would also be able to read the Hajjud, etc. And in terms of the use of the miswak as well, we'd be able to be following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but at the same time, there's plenty of benefit in that. Example, it would be like it removes plug from the mouth. It will help us not to be going to dentists as many times as people actually go, especially now people, we eat so much of junk. So people always have teeth problems. So when you're following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, using the miswak, where you use it early in the morning, you should use it for every salah. At the same time, when you're using it for every salah, your salah becomes 70 times more. So there's plenty of benefit in following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sitting and drinking water, which helps us also eat less. Always speaking good. Also, you know, in the Prophet said, we must always speak good and remain silent. So if we always speak good, we'll be staying away from so much of wrong as well, you know. It will help us with so many unnecessary things in this world, like we spoke about the fact that people speak about fake friends, people speak about unnecessary other things that are happening around them. So when we speak good, inshallah, it will save us from all these other things that we try our best to stay away from, inshallah. So a sunnah is also of such importance that once salah is also incomplete without following the sunnah, like we spoke about in terms of salah, when you're reading your ruku, your sajda, all of that is incomplete if we do not do our sunnah, which is our tasbihat, etc. So there's a lot of benefits. This is just a few benefits that we've mentioned, inshallah.
SubhanAllah. So many benefits from following the Sunnah. May Allah grant us the ability to actually, follow the Sunnah and start practicing on the Sunnah, trying to get these habits and this Sunnah acts, the small Sunnah acts, it can be of great benefit for us, inshallah. Okay, Appa, how does the Sunnah teach us discipline in our lives? As we know that the Prophet had so much discipline when it came to many things, and we find this in his Sunnah that is full of discipline. But so how does this, when us following Sunnah teach us discipline in our lives?
SubhanAllah, Appa, as believers, as Muslims, we should make it a point to imprint the Sunnah in our lives, or rather in our hearts and souls, so that the Sunnah teachings can be translated into our everyday lives as well. That is also once a person follows the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we are able to control ourselves from doing anything that is inappropriate or anything that is incorrect. And we'll stay away from sin, So we are not easily influenced by anything of this world, or by celebrities, by peer pressure, friends, anything like that. In that way, we will have also self-honor, we have self-discipline, we will have order in our lives as well, and we will eat well, we sleep well, we'll be happy, etc. Because that's exactly what everyone is looking for. We're all looking for happiness, we're all looking for honor, we're all looking for different many other things. However, in order for us to be disciplined, we should follow the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In that way, we are able to do we're able to live our daily life correctly. We are able to, for example, when we speak good, then we remain people who are disciplined, who stay away from things that are wrong. We stay away from gossip. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that, "Aghibat ashatu min az-zina," and people take gossip to be something so light, whereas Marisa sometimes is worse than Zina, because with Zina, what happens is that we know and feel that this thing is wrong. But with gossip, people always say, yeah, no, it's okay, she's like that, or she deserves that, So that's why we don't see anything wrong in that. But once we know and we follow the Sunnah, then Marisa sometimes tells us that we should speak good or remain silent. We'll stay away from things like that.
So amazing how the Sunnah actually brings that discipline, it brings that, that normality that many people are seeking in their lives. And this is the beauty of one of the amazing beauties of following the Sunnah. And we see that from the life of the Prophet as well. It was so full of direction, sense of understanding, sense of, that capability of living life the way to the fullest as well. My next question to you is, what are some of the challenges Muslims face when it comes to following the Sunnah, and how can we face these challenges and overcome them?
Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something today, that a time will come where holding onto the Sunnah will be like holding onto coal. And unfortunately, that is our time, It's hectic to hold on to the Sunnah, because we face things like criticism, discrimination, racism, etc., And these kind of things are things that are not only coming from our non-Muslim people, but rather they also come from our Muslim people. They come from our very own Muslim people, whom we're supposed to be trusting each other, loving each other, and living in accordance to the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us. Like Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, who would come out in the morning and would go to the market, especially just to greet the people, in order for him to get that. But nowadays, we go to the malls, we go anywhere, we greet a Muslim, and then they simply do not reply to a greeting. Simply because sometimes other people who think they're much better for some reason, So hence criticism. When we are black young Muslim girls, so you are black, you are young, you are a woman, you're facing so much of other problems in the world, How can you be dressed like this in this way, in this like a bayah example? Whereas your Muslim brothers and sisters are doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. I get that a lot. I get that also from family, from people that we know, that they would be like, in the month of Ramadan, you're fasting, mashallah, but your Muslim brothers and sisters out there, they're not even fasting. Why Western Gazelle way.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so true.
Yeah, so,
true.
So how can you be dressed in niqab as your Muslim brothers and sisters don't even dress like that, you know? Mm. So it seems like that. And racism as well, you don't only get it from people who are not Muslim, but you get it from our very own Muslim people as well. Mm. So if you're black, you're less of a person than what they are. You know, if you are able to do something, they're like, how did you get that thing there, you know?
Mm.
So it's like you don't deserve to have anything like that. So it becomes very difficult, yes, to follow the sunnah because left, right, and center, people are criticizing you, whether Muslim or not.
Mm.
Some Muslims, they might be coming from good families as well, but they still criticize a person in that. So it becomes very hectic. So the only thing is that I think we should remain steadfast. We should not be followers of the West or followers of anything else. We should rather be leaders and be steadfast in what we believe in. And like how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself was steadfast in his deen. Because if he was not steadfast enough, none of us would have gotten the deen. So it's about time that we also become steadfast in our deen and we don't be taken away from deen just because somebody else says something, you know?
Mm.
I mean, growing up, we always had people who were like, oh, mzayazayge, oh, ninja, and all of those things. But I think personally, if we had to take that to heart and made us stop dressing properly, made us stop being Muslims properly, then today we wouldn't be believers. Our children wouldn't be believers.
Mm.
So we need to be steadfast, inshallah. Mm,
that's very important, being steadfast. And I like how Apa mentioned we should be leaders. In fact, we should try and strive our best to be leaders in the sunnah as well. And it's like how Apa said indeed, that most of the challenges are actually challenges coming from us amongst ourselves. And we see when we deal with this, sadly, that it's not coming from non-Muslim, but it's coming from our very own Muslims. And it becomes such a difficult thing to, but we all know that, you know what, in the out end, the more disciplined you are in the sunnah, the more you are understanding of what the sunnah is, then you are able to lead in that sunnah. May Allah make it easy for all of us to face these challenges. In fact, it's quite a sad thing, a sad reality that is actually happening in today's times. Okay, Appa, as you know, most of the time when we speak about the sunnah and we speak about following the sunnah, what happens is, you know, most of the time the youth, like, they feel that it's something which is outdated due to social media. It's so, something like the way things they're exposed to. So, Appa, the next question is with regards to that. So how can we encourage the youth, you know, to follow the sunnah in today's times where, you know, following the sunnah is made to be seen outdated, made to be seen like it's something that's bizarre sometimes, sadly. And sometimes you'll find it many a times many of our youngsters don't follow sunnah unless it is in fashion. That's it.
You know, I think I like the last part of the affirmation, unless it's in fashion. You know, it's exactly things like that that have been happening. Like the other day, like, you know, a few years ago, actually, I seen this ad on the phone where people were talking about this ginger and they were talking about all the benefits this white woman was advertising it.
Mm.
And I was, like, so taken by this thing here because I'm like, wow. Just because now people are, like, you know, non-Muslim people are actually advertising such things.
Mm.
Now it's all fashionable. Now everyone is doing it.
Mm.
Same thing with Miswa. When they advertised about it, they spoke about the stick and whatever. And everybody wants to do it and everybody wants to buy it. And just like parties, you know, our very own Muslim people go out there and actually do that just because everyone is doing it now. Whereas our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us these things 1400 years ago. You know, we knew about this long time ago. It's changing, you know. So I think also that the thing is, we shouldn't make things difficult, we should make things easy, especially for our youth. You know, tell them the benefits of everything instead of telling them this is haram, that is haram, this is haram, that is haram. And it really, really makes it so hard for them to actually follow the deen. So let us show them the beauty of deen, show them the beauty of following the sunnah of the Messenger, show them the benefits, show them the ultimate goal, that is our Jannah, inshallah. You know. Let them know that we need to understand our deen, who we are, why are we even believers in the first place, you know? What does this deed require from us as Muslims? You know, maybe find interesting things for them to also do. You know, maybe Islamic camps, have fun Islamically. You know, things that would be would push them towards doing more deeply things rather than things that would push them to do things that are not deeply. You know, so an example of that would also be, for example, they put out so many things in terms of dressing. You know, I have been approached by so many people who told me this straight in my face. I just hate that black dress, you know. And how can you just be only wearing black and hot and cold, everything? So, but we should show people that, you know, deen is not only about that black dress. You know, you can dress as beautiful as you want to be, but as long as it's modest, as long as it's genuine. A lot of people have told me, I don't want to come to deen because it's so hard. It's so much of roof and it's so just those black dress that you guys are always wearing. I cannot do things like that. So I try my best to always tell them that, you know, you don't have to wear that black dress. Dress modestly, just in a nice, beautiful dress that is long, loose, and cover your hair, you know? And you tell them what are the benefits of it. So one of the other things that is important is for us as families to do tiling at home. So Talim actually brings about so much of love for the Sunnah, so much of love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, love for the Sahabiyat. So in that way, you're pushing people closer toward Deen and you make them love Deen more. So we can make Deen actually trend in the most beautiful way. And look at the problems that the youth are actually facing and try to deal them in a most straightforward way, but Deeny way, you know. But we shouldn't just tell them that this is haram, that is haram, stay away from that, stay away from that. So you're making them frustrated because children of our days, you know, they do feel, yes, Sunnah is outdated, whereas Sunnah is never outdated, it will never be outdated.
So true, very true. For that last thing is very true. You find a lot of times, even the students, you teach them about regarding, especially with the hairstyles, of the times, it's with the hairstyles, and they feel like, no, it's boring, you can't be, and it's always, you try to explain to them, and make them understand it, no, it's not outdated, and so on, how the Sunnah is actually, even my sister was speaking once of one of the days, that, you know, how the Sunnah actually brings, you know, like what regards even with discipline, like how the children nowadays, if they knew how to discipline, even when they go out in the world, to bring that discipline with them, they'll be able to go out in the world with better understanding what the challenges are and so on.
Yes, definitely. So we should beautify Deen instead of making it look like it's something that is so hard to actually do.
Okay, for my final question to you before we let you go, Appa, please advise us on like some of the little Sunnah acts which we can start practicing on today, and how can we ensure that, you know, they are incorporated into our daily lives also.
I'd say, Appa, we start simple, you know, we start small, we start simple, and inshallah, eventually we get to do as many sunnah as possible, inshallah. Like, for example, the sunnah of drinking water, there's like 6 benefits in that, like sitting and drinking, saying bismillah before drinking, after that saying alhamdulillah, wearing a scarf, looking into the glass, like that, you know. So we need to make them aware of all of these things, make people aware of all of these things, or we should make ourselves aware of all of these things, inshallah. You know, the sunnah before sleeping and waking up, making sure that we read our du'as before sleeping, we make wudu, we wake, sleep on the right side, and we wake up in the morning, read our du'as again, make miswak. As we go out of the house, we leave with the left foot. Making dua, coming in with the right foot, making dua as well, going to the toilet, touching goods, smiling, you know, smiling is also a very important sunnah, it's an easy sunnah, so we should do things like this, no matter how sad, upset we are, we should try our best to smile, to lighten up your day and lighten up everybody else's day as well. So these sunnahs are things that we normally do on a daily basis. Everybody goes in and out of their house. Everybody sleeps. But rather, at that time, be conscious that when I'm sleeping, I'm going to make sure that I make wudu first. After making wudu, I'm gonna sleep on my right side, and I'm gonna read my dua before sleeping and then sleep. You know, when I come out of my house consciously, I'm gonna come out with my left foot. I'm gonna consciously make my dua, even if it means sticking the dua on the door, on the doors. You know, it's a good reminder. Stick them on the doors, stick the dua on the doors from the outside for the toilet, so that when you enter and you go out of the toilet, you are able to read those dua. Like, it will be a constant reminder for a person. But if we don't have things that will remind us, then it's not gonna be useful at all. And our mothers, right? So we should always try our best to make sure that we try and follow from the simplest sunnahs and be constant on them, and then inshallah go to the bigger sunnahs. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all of us. May Allah Ta'ala make us all practicing believers, and believers that actually follow the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam consciously, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Apa, jazakallah khair, apa, for those beautiful advices. Apa, we will be letting Apa go now, but it was a pleasure to have Apa on with us. We look forward to speaking to Apa again in future, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. Wa ahsanul jaza. Apa for having me.
Ameen, ameen. Apa, jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, it was Apa Fatima Khwele Mukaba with us, speaking to us and giving us some advices and explaining to us about the sunnah as well as the beautiful advices that we got from her, alhamdulillah, with regards to the sunnah. Okay, now we are going to the last portion of our show, because we are about to end the show. That is on the revive the sunnah. Well, the sunnah that we are reviving today is with regards to sleeping, with regards to the etiquette of sleeping, and this comes from the book of the book of, you know, the etiquette, the book of the etiquette of sleeping, which is found in Riyadu Salihin, as is Kitab Adam and Noam, and it is in the Bab Ma Yaqulu in the Noam, that is what is to be said at the time of sleeping. Now Al-Bara bin Azib radiyallahu anhu is reported to have said that whenever the Messenger of Allah SWT went to bed, he would lie down on his right side and recite, Allahumma aslamtu nafsi ilayka wa wajahtu wajhi ilayka wa fa'adtu amri ilayka wa aljahtu dhahri ilayka raghbatan wa rahbatan ilayka la malja'a wa la من جاء إلا إليك أمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت وبنبيك الذي أرسلت. I'll repeat the Arabic again. It is اللهم أسلمت نفسي إليك ووجهت وجهي إليك وفوت أمري إليك وألجأت ظهري إليك رغبة ورهبة إليك لا ملجا ولا منجا الا اليك امنت بكتابك الذي انزلت ونبيك الذي ارسلت. That meaning is, O Allah, I have submitted myself to you, I have turned my face to you and committed my affairs to you, and depend on you for protection of desire for you and out of fear of you. That is, when you are fearing, expecting the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you desire the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fearing your punishment, fearing the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, and in the rest goes, there is no refuge and no place of safety from you, but with you. I believe in the book you have revealed, in the prophet you have sent, that is the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the dua that is to be read before we sleep. When you're about to sleep, this is a dua to be read. We should practice on the sunnah. This was a sunnah of the Prophet that when he used to sleep, this is what he advised, that they should lie on the right side and recite this dua when they are retiring to bed. In another hadith, the same way the Prophet has with the same sahaba, that is Al-Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu, where the Messenger of Allah, he said and directed the sahaba is thus, that whenever you go to bed, perform wudu as you do for salah, then before sleeping recite, O Allah, I have submitted myself to you, I have turned myself to you, committed my affairs to you, and sought your refuge from for protection out of desire for you and fear of you. There is no refuge and no place of safety from you but with you. I believe in the book you have revealed and in the Prophet you have sent. The Messenger of Allah added that if anyone recites these words and dies during the night, he will die on the true deen, and if he remains alive till the morning, he will obtain good and make this supplication your last words before you sleep. So these are from the advices of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As well, Aisha radhiyallahu anha is reported to have said that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to offer 11 rak'ah of optional salah in the latter part of the night. That when
of the night, and when it was about dawn, he would offer two short rakah, then would lie down on his right side till the mu'adhin would come and inform him that the congregation had gathered. So these are the some of the sunnah as that we can practice on whenever we are going to the to our bed, we are about to sleep. So the etiquette of sleeping is to sleep on the right side, to recite the dua, that is the dua, so that you know the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the last thing that you recite when you are sleeping, to be in the state of wudu, to make wudu, to be in a state of wudu, so that our salah as well is a form of ibadah, and to try to sleep in such a way that you know what, you are able to get up for the tahajjud, and when we are sleeping after the tahajjud, to sleep in such a way that we are able to get up for fajr. We shouldn't oversleep for fajr, and also we should try our best to sleep in a way that when we are sleeping, we are able to get up for the tahajjud as well. So these are the etiquettes of sleeping. May Allah make it easy for myself firstly and everyone else to practice on the sunnah and revive the sunnah and make it a beautiful sunnah to follow every day. And may this be the sunnah that we start with every day. You know, it's a sunnah we are sleeping. It's a sunnah that many of us might have forgotten. It's a sunnah that many of us are neglecting. But this sunnah can bring so much barakah in our lives. Let us try this, as we know that, you know what, many a times we find it difficult to wake up for the Hajj, but in this sunnah we have been able to also, you know, prepare ourselves, prepare our bodies for the time of the Hajjud. And we know in the Hajjud, it is the most, you know, there is a time we're in when we are making dua in the Hajjud, then it is like an arrow which does not miss its target. So we are able to make dua in this time, we are able to wake up in this time to get this barakah, to get this blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it easy for us to practice, inshallah. This is where I will be ending today's show, inshallah. Until next week, Tuesday, from me, Hajira Muzabe, ma'assalam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.